So I want to get into the Word of God this morning. As Pastor Greg said, you know, we're currently over in the Cayman Islands, and my wife and I just transitioned a year and a half ago from pastoring. We've been pastoring for 20 years. We pastored 10 years in Queens, New York. You know where that's at. And then God called us again for a second time to go to the Cayman Islands. We were in the Cayman Islands in 99 to 2003, and then we left for about 12 years, and then we went back again in 2014, and we've been there since. So we pastored two churches, one in Queens and then one in the Cayman Islands for about 9 years. About a year and a half ago, we transitioned over to a Christian school. So now my wife is the principal of a Christian school, and I am the dean of students and spiritual life. So I'm over the spiritual life of the school. Amen. Praise God. Imagine that. The little boy who they said got dropped on his head. Look at God. Amen. But just on a side note, I was talking to your pastors and telling them, you know, we are currently, my wife specifically, we're recruiting right now. So we're actually looking for qualified, certified teachers. So if you have a heart for the missions and you feel called to some warmer weather, let's put a little disclaimer on there, right? It's not all beaches and sun, all right? We work hard in the Cayman Islands, okay? Now, the difference is we work hard after we go to the beach and we put our feet in some nice warm water, okay? That's the difference, but we still work hard, okay? But, you know, if God, you know, puts it on your heart, or if you know somebody who, again, is qualified, loves the Lord, all right, because this is a Christian school. We're from K to 12. And, you know, we're looking for qualified people who want to be a part of something special that God is doing in the earth. Amen. I believe Christian education is so important, you know, especially these days that we live in right now, training our children to have a biblical worldview. Okay? Because I was reading study that Barner had did a few years ago, and he said 17% of Christians have a biblical worldview. 17. And this is not the average, you know, once in a while church-going person. These are avid church-going people like yourselves. Said 17% have a true biblical worldview. And so, you know, if we wonder why the world is in such a mess and why the body of Christ is in such a mess, it's because we're all sort of divided on what we believe about what the Word of God says. There's no, you know, ambiguity in what the Word of God says. It's very clear, all right? So when we get this confusion of, you know, because the biggest thing we deal with now is people not knowing if they're a man or a female. You know, I like what Andrew Womack says, to check the plumbing. Uh-huh. You're confused about this? Check the plumbing, you know. Got male plumbing, you're a male. You got female plumbing, you're a female. Real simple. You know, but people take complicated things and make simple things and make them complicated. And it's not complicated. This word is not complicated. It's real simple. Christ came and died, rose again, amen, and left unto us an inheritance. So we want to talk this morning about this topic, from this topic that you have been authorized. You have been authorized. And I find, again, you know, dealing with schools, you know, we're also over a Christian Bible school. We have about 11 students right now, 22 in all, but currently we have 11 students studying with our Bible school, working on getting degrees, different levels of degrees in ministry. So we're affiliated with a school out of Tampa, Florida, and so we have schools that we're running classes and things. And so one of the things I'm finding out is that people are this issue of authenticity. Authenticity. And what we find is that people, you know, debate over whether the Bible is authentic. You know, the Bible, the Bible is good, but it has errors in it. You know, it's full of errors. And so, you know, we need another revelation. That's the number one sign of a cult. Okay? Ask the Word of God, subtracts from the Trinity, and multiplies the terms of salvation. So whenever you see those type of things happening or people preaching along those lines, you realize that it's moving into a cult. It's moving into false religion. It's moving away from the foundations of what God's word says is sound doctrine. And we're warned in the last days that we have to be careful because there's going to be a pull. There's going to be a draw to pull the church away from sound doctrine, sound teaching. People with itching ears wanting to hear things that entertain them and sparkles their joy and not wanting to hear the truth of the Word of God. And we have churches popping up. We have churches that are, you know, entertainment centers. And people flocking to these churches, you know, to hear some watered-down version of the gospel, but not hearing the true Word of God, which is able to set you free. We were singing this morning about the name of Jesus. How many churches, how many songs you hear that moved away from talking about the power of the name of Jesus? That's our authority. That's our authentication. When we use that name, that's like the magic thing that opens the door. It's like having the key. But we've moved away from that. So we have to realize that we've been authorized. We've been made to be authentic. So when something is authorized, it is conferred authority upon. It's empowered, enabled, it's licensed. When you've been authorized, you've been licensed to operate in a certain region. You've been licensed to do something in the name of God. I've been licensed to be a reverend, to be a preacher. That's my calling. And along with that calling comes a authority. Another word says, you've been blessed. I like this one here. It says, you've been commissioned. Come on, somebody. You've been commissioned. So somebody says, you know, as Christians, we're not employed. We are deployed. Come on. Wherever you're at, you're not employed. You may be working that job, okay? And you say, well, that's my employment. No, you've been deployed there because why? You've been authorized. Stick with me. We're going to go somewhere. You've been authorized. You've been authenticated. When something is authenticated, what are we saying? It means that it has been made, has been established as authentic. It's been established as genuine. There's a story over in the book of Acts, 19th chapter. 19th chapter of Acts, verse 15 and 16. It was an evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who are you? There were some believers that, you know, people that saw these men of God using the name of Jesus, casting out demons, exercising power over the power of the enemy. And they saw them and said, wait a second, you mean you can do that? We can do it too. So they went out and said, in the name of Jesus and whom Paul preaches, come out. It's a bad day when the devil answers you back. Said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? See, it's a matter of identity. Who are you? When I was dating, I have an uncle who was a mentor of mine. He was in ministry for 50 years. One of my heroes. And when I was dating and looking for a wife, you know, I remember dating this one girl. We were in Raymond together. We were dating, and I brought her home, and he asked her, he said, who are you? And she jumped out of her skin. She went, you know, she got nervous, and, you know, and so I didn't know what he was doing, but, you know, he was trying to help me out. Poor girl didn't know who she was. And so I started dating my wife a few years later. You know, he did the same thing to her. He said, who are you? And she said, me who I am. You got to know my wife. you know my wife. Let me tell you who I am. Yeah, you know, that. She's from the Bronx, you know that. tell you who I am. You know, those Bronx girls talk with their head and get that finger moving. I'm gonna tell you who I am. She told who she was. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by the King. I'm anointed. I'm favored. Who are you? Demon asks him, who are you? We don't know who you are. You're coming and you're using, but you're not authorized. Come on, you're not authorized to use that name. You're using, but you're not authorized. But you as a believer, you've been authorized. You've been empowered. You've been authenticated to use the name. Amen. Come on. You got the power. Come on, Dorothy. Click your heels. Click them. You can go home anytime you want to. You got the power. It's already in you. You simply have to recognize that you have been authorized. Come on, somebody. We are a visual representation of an invisible kingdom. Wherever you go, you are a visible representation of an invisible kingdom. Whenever you show up, people ought to see the King. People ought to see the kingdom. People ought to see the God in you. We're so important. We're so thrilled with people seeing us. Look, they shouldn't be seeing you first. They ought to see Him. Amen. But you got to know who you are. What's your identity? What do you identify with most? Your nationality? Where you from? Who you represent? Or do you represent the kingdom in which you come from? Because when that kingdom, it comes with some power, comes with some authority. Matthew 28:18. What did I say? I said we are a visual representation of an invisible kingdom. Matthew 28:18 says this, and Jesus came and spoke, this is the King James Version. And Jesus came to him and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, mind you, this is right after Jesus is resurrected from the dead, raised to to life by the glory of God. And he says, all power is given unto me. Now, here's the thing about that. In the Greek, that word power is the word exousia. And exousia should never be translated as power. It should be translated as authority. In fact, if you look it up in the New King James or NIV, it doesn't say power, it says authority. Because when God lost to Satan, he didn't lose his power, he left his authority. His power was still intact. But what he lost was his right, his authority to operate in this earth. And when Jesus came back and he rose from the grave, what he said was, all authority is given to me. I've been authorized to use this power. We live in the Cayman Islands, you know that already. And over in the Cayman Islands, we're known for banking. In fact, it's the number one industry in the Cayman Islands. It's not tourism, it's not housing, it's banking. Makes up 80% of the GDP. The tourism and housing and something else makes up the other half of it. Every major bank in the world has a branch in the Cayman Islands. Why? Because by them, well, we know, yeah, okay, the taxes, we got it. Somebody said taxes. But even that, for you to get that tax shelter, right, you have to be legitimate. Okay, you can't be in New York and not have a branch over in the Cayman Islands if you want to have that tax shelter. So the fact is that the banks know that they have to come down and establish a physical representation in the Cayman Islands so they can have legal right to operate within that territory. Why? To do transactions, to do business on the behalf of headquarters. You ever think about that's why God put you where you're at? Because why? You are a legal representation, a visible representation of an invisible kingdom. So where you're at, you're now activated to make transactions on the behalf of the kingdom, because where you're physically planted. So you can go places I can't go. You can reach people I can never reach. Come on, you can go into hospitals and nursing homes, you can go into workplaces, you can go into top secret places I can't go to, but you can go there and activate. Because why? You have been authorized. You're not going in there with an inferior power. I used to walk around with an inferiority complex. Before I came here, I used to walk with my head down like this. You see me? I was walking just like this. Just shuffling along. When I found who I am, now I walk like this. What? What? Who? And not because of me, but it's because who I am in him and who he is in me. Because I know who I am. And most importantly, I know whose I am. And he's invested in us so much. But we do so little. come up with excuses. Well, you know, it's my age, you know. Well, you know, it's my dyslexia. Well, you know, it's my little problem, you know. It's my little thing I got, you know. And you know, if it wasn't for that, you know, Pastor, I would volunteer, Pastor. You know, I would do something, but you know, it's the thing, if my car broke down, you know. Listen, my spiritual mother didn't have a car, and she borrowed a car to come pick me up to bring me to church. What's your problem?
Yeah.
You can't go witnessing. Pastor, we ain't got no car. So what?
That's right.
Get a bike.
Yeah.
I seen those little power things, you know, those little scooter things you can rent on the side of the road. You go rent one of those and go out and witness to somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. You've been authorized. You've been given the right to use this power.
Yes.
What power are we talking about? You realize that over in the book of Ephesians, it talks in Ephesians 1, right? It talks about how Jesus was raised from the dead, right? But in that verse 19, right? You know, in that verse, it's five different words used for power. Azusia, kotos, right? Dunamis, right? Five different words used for power. And each one describes a different part of God's power. What was it saying? It took all of God's power to raise Jesus from the dead. Then when Jesus got up, he said, all power, all authority, all dominion, all ruling power, all dunamis power has been given to me.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Then what does he do? Gave to the church. Woo! Jesus, have mercy. He turns around and he gives that same power to the church. Watch this, Ephesians 1:22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Good gracious, oh God. He's put all things under his feet. He's given him power to be head over all things. To who? The church. Which is his body. You are his body, you're his mouth, you're his hands, you're his feet. He's not going to send you out there ill-equipped. He's authorized you. You've been given authority over the power of the enemy. Nothing the enemy can bring your way can hinder you, stop you, and keep you from the plan of God. I told you a few little while ago that, you know, my wife and I transitioned a year and a half ago to working at the school. What I didn't tell you was that we were pastoring for 9 years. You know, in the Cayman Islands, when you work in the Cayman Islands, this is one of the downsides of working in the Cayman Islands. It's because, you know, you're not a citizen there. You're there as an expatriate. So you're there on work permit. And so, you know, your work permit, you're allowed to work as long as your work permit allows you. And they allow you 9 years. And at the 9-year mark, you either have to roll over, which means you leave for a year and come back, or you have to apply for permanent residency, which is rather expensive. And so my wife and I, you know, we're praying about it and we're thinking and saying, you know, well, you know, Lord, we'll stay if you want us to. We'll apply if you want us to. But, you know, if you have something else. And so we had gotten a call from our pastor telling us that, you know, there's another, there's a church, you know, different location looking for a pastor. Of course, this is in the States. This is in the U.S. territory. So we said, okay, well, praise the Lord. You know, maybe that's the answer to prayer. Maybe God's opening the door for us. You know, we don't have to apply for permanent residency, pull this money out of our pocket and whatever, you know. So we prayed about it, and, you know, we went and we interviewed with the church, and we had gone over there several times, and, you know, and it seemed like a good fit. Everything seemed, you know, well, we prayed and checked. Everything seemed good. You know, we did our background checks. We checked with ministers that we knew who knew them. And, you know, all that stuff, you know, it all came up well. And so we ended up entering into an agreement with the church to be the next senior pastors. They sent us a contract and an email stating, you know, we're offering you the position and yada, yada, and all this, that, and other thing. So we all agree, and we're all moving ahead in this direction. And, you know, 2 weeks before we're about to move. Now, mind you, we sold our house. We had a buyer. We were in contract. Sold all of our, both of our cars, both of our, in fact, the night before, we just sold our last car. We're living in boxes. Quit our jobs. Just resigned from my church. I just installed a new pastor. A new pastor was coming in that Sunday. Brought him over, brought his family over. Our son was in his final year of high school. We unenrolled him, and we were going to enroll him into the school where we were going to. 6 o'clock one morning, I get an email saying, we changed our minds. We're going in a different direction. I'm ready to lose my mind. My wife is sleeping. I'm looking at all these boxes around. I'm thinking, Lord, we done did all this. And I said, what? I'm ready to get on the plane and lay hands.
Yeah.
Okay. You with me? All right. So, and forget to pray, you know what I mean? And so, you know, but you know, I went into prayer. I said, God, you know, Lord, you're good. Father, you're good. What do we do, God? What do we do? Well, you know, long story short, we prayed and God gave us peace, and, you know, the house, the contract we were under, the people lost their financing. We got out of that. We kept our house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. My wife went back and, you know, she was able to get her job back at the school. She was a Bible school teacher. She was a teacher teaching Bible at the school. We were able to re-enroll our son back into the school, and they were even willing to give me a job to teach the Bible at the school. So we landed on our feet. But here's the thing. That same year, my wife received 3 promotions. She went from being the Bible school teacher to being the dean of students to being the assistant principal to now being the principal in 1 year. In 1 year. Why am I saying that to you? I'm not saying it to, you know, because, you know, it's hurtful. I'm over it. But I'm trying to tell you that what the devil means for bad,
reach it.
God turns into good. Won't he do it? There's nothing the enemy can throw your way that God can't flip around. I'm a witness. the devil meant. I think he was trying to get me to lose my mind. Because I'm gonna tell you, I went through some mental battles. Like, get me to lose my mind, but I know the God I trust. Come on. I know some of you are going through some stuff. That's why I told the story. Because I want you to recognize the goodness of God. You know, when you're walking in your authority, you become impervious. There's nothing the devil can do to touch you. There's a song out many years ago by a man named MC Hammer. Remember that? MC Hammer. Can't touch this. Doom, 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 doom. The weapon may form. Come on. But it can't prosper. Why? Because you have been authorized. And what God has for you, the devil can't undo. What God called you to do, what God authorized you to do, can't be undone, can't be changed. Only person can stop that is you. You choose to get off the track. You choose to stop following God. You choose to give up and throw in the towel. No, it's nothing the devil can do that can ever stop the work of God. It keeps going on. But what happens is we get distracted. We get offended. The first thing came to my mind was to get offended. I wanted to get offended. I was offended. How dare these people? Who they think they are? Die, die, die! You know. Let's be honest, right? In fact, I had people come to me and said, you should have sued them. You should have went after them and sued them. I thought about it, Pastor. I really did. I said, I got a case I can sue. I got a contract. I can sue these people. But I couldn't get peace about it because I felt if I go after suing these people, I'm never going to get healed. Now, you do what you want to do. I'm just talking about me. I keep festering on, they did me wrong. They gonna get away with that. I'm gonna show them who they think they are. Treat me like that. I'm pastoring my church, minding my business. They come looking for me. I ain't come looking for them. God said, let it go. Let it go. Walk away from it. I'm telling you right now, I'm living my best life. Woo! Psh, glory to God. Woo! God is good. And I'm looking forward to what he has in the future. So over in Colossians, I want to read this out of the Mirror Bible. Listen to this, the Mirror Bible. Colossians 3:1. It says, see yourself co-raised with Christ. Now ponder with persuasion the consequences of your co-inclusion in him. Relocate your mentality. Engage your thoughts with throne room reality. You were co-seated in Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. Woo, glory to God. I've been co-risen, I've been co-included, I've been co-seated, and I'm in God's executive authority. Everything God did for Jesus, he did for me because we're joint heirs. He died, I died. He rose, I rose. He seated, I'm seated. He has authority, I have authority. He has victory, I have victory. We are co-laborers together with God. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Look at somebody and say, I'm a dominionaire. Come on. We got people who are millionaires. We got people who are billionaires. Come on. But guess what? We're dominionaires. Glory to God. What's that mean? We have authority. Devil raised his ugly head up. We said, no, not today, devil, not tomorrow. We have a saying in the Cayman Islands that says, not today, Bobo. Not today, Bobo, not tomorrow, next week, next year. Come on, you can bring it on, but guess what? Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Now, maybe before I knew who I was, come on, maybe before I became a redeeming love Christian sinner, maybe you could have got me then, but it's too late now. I know who I am. Should have got me when I was confused and didn't know. Become affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts will keep you from being distracted again by the earthly soulish realm. So it's again, getting our minds oriented to thinking throne room realities. I am co-seated with Christ in heavenly places. When? Now. He's not talking about future. He's not talking about in the sweet by and by when you die and you go to glory. He's talking about now. Everything God did for Jesus, he did for you. In him. And so if you are in him, guess what? He did it for you. I'm going to do you one better. You know, the Bible, there's a doctrine in the Bible talks about glorification. Anybody been glorified? Amen. Well, not yet. You haven't. That's future tense. We've been redeemed. We've been, right? We've been saved. We've been sanctified, right? But glorification is future. We're going to get a brand new body. Woo, glory to God. I'm looking forward to that because these knees, boy. I got this pain, the sciatica thing, you know, it rears up sometimes, you know what I mean? But thank God, we're going to get a brand new body one day. That's glorification. But here's the thing about the doctrine of glorification. It's God sees me in the future with him glorified. He sees me in my future glorified. Now watch this, but he sees it now. So if God sees me in my future glorified, that means whatever I'm going through right now, I got to come out of. Because he already sees me glorified in Christ. So when we remember that we're in Christ, no matter what we're going through, the fact that God already sees me co-glorified with Christ Jesus, that means whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm experiencing, whatever's happening in my life right now, it has to turn around. It has to turn for my glory. It has to change for my favor. I don't care how bad, how awful it looks, how awful it feels, how depressed you are, how sick you are, how broke you are, how tired you are, how weak you are, how whatever you feel, whatever you're going through, God says it has to turn around for your favor. Yes. Has to, must. Oh, you don't know, my situation is special. Listen to me. You can't get more special than dead. You can't get more special than dead for 3 days in a grave. You can't get more special than you being under the grave, dead, not breathing, no more life in you. And in 3 days, he came and got back up. You can't get no more special than that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Don't tell me what you're facing is impossible. You ain't met the impossible. Die, and then you come tell me about what's impossible.
Right.
You still got breath. You still breathing. You still can move. And guess what? It's possible.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It can change.
That's right.
Just like that, it can change.
Right.
Somebody say suddenly.
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 That That's like it'll change suddenly. I believe there's some suddenlies in this house today. There's some suddenlies in this house. There's some things that are changing right now. There's something in your life that's changing. There's something that's turning around. There's something that's stirring up. There's somebody's going to get a healing. They're going to get a breakthrough. There's some suddenlies happening in this place. God's releasing something in your life. Go ahead and receive it. That's the problem with the body of Christ. We're like, oh yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, Pastor. Mm-hmm. We heard that before, Pastor. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you realize you've been authorized, boy, it changes everything. I've been co-included in the joint authority of God. Colossians 3:10 says this, we stand firm, identified in the new creation, renewed in knowledge according to the pattern of the exact image of our Creator. We're in the exact image, that marred image that we were born into. Remember the Bible says you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, that marred image that we were born into. The Bible says now that we have been recreated. We stand firmly identified in the new creation, renewed in the knowledge according to the pattern of the exact image of our Creator. The revelation of Christ in us gives identity to the individual beyond anything anyone could ever be. A Greek, a Jew, American, an African, a king, a pawn. From now on, everyone is represented in Christ. Yes. Thank you, Father. Come on, can I say something here? Can I say something? I'm no longer my color. I'm no longer my ethnicity. No, misunderstand. I'm proud. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what I'm more proud about? That my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That I'm a son of the Most High God. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. That I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, some people get all excited. They're ready to march and, you know, shout and scream. You know, not to be political, but we get that with political for political parties. Come on, we want. Oh, I'm. This ain't no political party ever saved you. I don't care if you a donkey or you an elephant. Don't make no difference. Ain't no political party ever saved you. We're bowing and worshiping at the throne of political parties. You know, Dad Hagen told us, he told us a long time ago, he said we ought to pray. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray. Don't criticize, don't talk, don't put down, pray. The Bible says the government should be on his shoulders. Where's the shoulders at? In the body. So that tells me that a lot of stuff that goes on in the nation has to do with the fact that the church has abdicated its responsibility because it has authority. Oh, okay, that's another story altogether. We ain't talking about that. Oh, so-and-so is doing such, I can't stand so-and-so. Have you prayed? Did you pray for him? Have you spent time praying for the direction of the country, praying that revival come, that God do something, that God use? God can use anybody. I mean, in the Old Testament, God used ungodly people. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's ungodly. you. Who said it? They all. You? Okay, yeah. Thank you for helping me preach, brother. Yeah, amen, amen. They are ungodly people, but guess what? The responsibility is on the church. When we fail to exercise our authority, we give place to the devil. And for too long, we've been giving away territory. Just giving away territory. It's, okay, devil, you know, we're tired. We've been doing this for a long time. The devil, go ahead and you. Okay, all right, devil, we're just going to advocate a little bit more, you know. Are we doing good enough? So, you know, we're fine. But where's that tenacity? Where's that fight? Where's that fire? Remember Caleb at 80? He said, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. Yes. Come on, somebody. Age ain't number the number. The important part is that we recognize who we are. I got to keep moving. Y'all fun people to preach to. But I gotta keep, I know, because, you know, I got to be short. So, amen. Amen. All right. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Where do we go? We go right here. All right. Real quick, Colossians 1:9. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, cease not to give thanks for you, may be filled with the knowledge of him and all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy. Somebody say, walk worthy. Of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience and long suffering would give joy, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us. Who's qualified us. So this is the conclusion to the Ephesians prayers, because Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, it talks about you going in the knowledge of this power, of this glory, so you know who you are. But he talks in Colossians, he says, that you may walk it out. Yes. Why? Because you've been qualified. You're not being qualified, you've been qualified. You've passed the test. You've already got you know, the stamp of approval on you. You're good to go. But we're sitting there waiting for God to do something. He's waiting on you. You say, I don't know what to do. Open your mouth. You can start with opening your mouth, can't you? I mean, I wasn't looking around, you know, so I'm not judging anybody, but our dear sister was up here praising this morning. Wasn't she praising? She was getting down. You know, how many know praise and worship is not a spectator sport? You know, you see somebody getting their praise on, she's getting her praise. I said, she ain't going to out praise me this morning. I'm going to get my praise on too. Hey, glory to God. And sometimes we're sitting there, well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. Maybe the pastor that comes in next week, he gonna bring the anointing. Maybe the bishop that comes in the week after, he'll bring the anointing. I'm just waiting on, one day God gonna come in. And God's just sitting there going, when they gonna learn. Look at this. Luke 15, we're almost done. Give me a few minutes, we're almost done. Luke 15, 29. The Lord said to me that the body of Christ at large, in general, acts a lot like the other brother. So this is the story of the prodigal son. Verse 29 says this. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. We often emphasize the prodigal son took all his inheritance, went off and spent it in riotous living. We never think about the other brother. There he was sitting at home, always had the authority. Anytime you could have went down and killed the calf, anytime you could have went down there and started and have a party with you, all I have is yours. What was the problem? His identity. Even the prodigal son living with the pigs realized who he was. So even my father's servants eat better than this. So I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna go home. The Bible says the father saw him from a distance. Didn't even wait for him to get close. He saw him from a distance, got up, ran out, and met him. But most of the body of Christ is like the other brother. We're faithful. We come to church. We pray. We give. We attend meetings. We're faithful. We're faithful. But yet we're not partaking of what the Father has placed at the table. Even though we have been authorized. Come on, somebody. To partake. I don't know if you were like me, you had an inferiority complex. There's some background stuff that you're still trying to work through. I don't know. I don't know you that well. Someone told you you were ugly, you stupid, you ain't gonna never be nobody. You came from the wrong side of the track. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong sex. I don't know you. But here's what I do know. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What I was before, I'm no more. I don't answer to it. I don't claim it. I'm not ashamed of it. That's who I was. But I'm not that no more. I am right now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5:17 in closing from the Mirror Bible. Now in light of your co-inclusion in his death and resurrection, whatever you thought you were before, in Christ, you are a brand new person. The old way of seeing yourself, listen, the old way of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Come on. I don't know what you came in here seeing. Maybe you saw coming here seeing yourself as being sick. Maybe you saw yourself come here seeing yourself as being broke, being busted and disgusted, can't be trusted. I don't know. But that old way of seeing yourself is over. I'm no longer that person. Maybe you're the type of person that you have problem with forgiving people. Hold a grudge. I just can't forgive people. I just can't forgive them. You know, they did to me, it was wrong. They need to burn in hell. That old way of seeing yourself is over. You can forgive. You can let go. You can move on. I know it was painful. I know it was hurtful. I know it was wrong. But you can overcome it. I'm not saying it's right. So the thing is, when we talk about forgiving people, we think we're justifying what the people who hurt us did. That's not what forgiveness is about. When you forgive, you're freeing yourself. Somebody said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Just holding on to it. Oh, when that happened? 30 years ago? You people like that, you're talking about, oh, you know, they did this to me, they did that. Oh, that's you poor baby. When that happened? Oh, that happened about 30, 35 years ago. My older brother was like that. He, you know, when we were younger, we had a train track. My parents bought a train track, a race car track, but they made a mistake because they brought me one of those G.I. Joe dolls with the kung fu grip. All right? The action figure, yes, yeah, sir. Boy. And so when I came down the stairs and I saw that G.I. Joe, I didn't see the track on the floor. So I came down. I stepped on his track. It broke. He never got it fixed. Until his dying day, he talked about that. Never got over it. Remember when you were 5 years old, you stepped on my train track? No, I don't remember that, man. Some of you are just like that. You got things that happen to you, you know, horrible things that happen to you, and you just hold on. You harbor it. You're holding it. Oh, those people that never do know what they did to me. Forgive those people. Take it to my grave. You don't realize that you're holding yourself back from your new identity. In Christ, you are brand new. The old way of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. My new identity is one that strips my past limitations and labels and excuses. It's freedom to be my true, authentic self as God sees me in Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Peradventure today, there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus in the forgiveness of their sins. I'm not talking about church membership. You may even be a church goer. But you've never had a personal encounter with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Never want to have a service pass without giving that invitation. There's a service much like this where the invitation was given and I answered the altar. So glad I did. So if you're here today and you've never made a public confession of your faith, never asked Jesus into your heart, just going to give you an opportunity to do so this morning. Saints praying. We're going to say a prayer together. It's a general prayer. And if you're here, we want you just to pray this prayer with us. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose from the grave for you, the Bible says that you shall be saved. Everybody just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for taking my old identity and giving me a new one. I am now new in Christ. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Jesus, I thank you so much for taking my sins, for taking my place, and for giving me your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and that's the first time you've confessed, you asked Jesus to come in your heart, just raise your hand real quick. Real quick, we may all be saved here, I don't know, but we never want to disassume. So if you're here this morning, usher, host helping me out, please. Anybody here this morning, you've been, it's your first time, you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, just raise your hand real quick. Nobody wants to embarrass you. We just want to make sure you got what you came here to get today. Amen. I don't see any hands. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Can I pray over you? Is that okay? Can I pray over you as a congregation? Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over this church. I pray over these pastors, these leaders. And I make a declaration by the authority of God that the best days are yet to come. Glory to God. I pray right now, Father, for a fresh wind, a fresh move, a fresh revival. Touch this place, Father. Breathe afresh and anew in this place, Father. Thank you, Father God, for a revival, a renewal, Father. A restoration, Father. Thank you, Father God, for lifting up weary hands and heavy hearts. By the anointing of God, burdens move, yokes be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Financial burden, move. Financial yoke, be destroyed. Physical yoke, be moved. And healing, spring forth. In Jesus' name. I thank you for marriages, Father. Thank you for family, wayward children coming home. We call them in. We call them in. Yay. Hallelujah. They're marked. Hallelujah. Yeah, they can run, but they can't hide. They're marked. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you right now, Father. Blind is removed. Thank you that there's no time or distance in prayer as we're praying here, that even where they're at right now, they're being convicted. They're being pricked in their heart. They're being stirred to come back to Father's house. They're like the prodigal. And Father, we'll be there waiting with open arms, ready to throw on the robe and kill the fatted calf. Father, bless this place in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Again, thank you so much for this honor, this privilege of being with you today. I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and I really don't take it lightly. Thank you. Amen. Amen. And just know that we, my wife and I, are an extension of you. There would be no night ministry without Redeeming Love Christian Center. All right, so I want you to know that whatever we're doing in the world, we are an extension of you. So we encourage you and ask you to pray for us, believe with us as God is using us to do what we're doing around the world, and just know that, you know, the reach of Redeeming Love Christian Center goes around the world. The impact of this ministry, it will take us to get to heaven to ever realize the fullness of the impact of this ministry. So you are a part of something extremely special and great, and we just encourage you to keep doing the good work that you're doing. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Turn it back over to your pastors.